shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you.
Open up God's word. Let's just remind ourselves why we're here today and why God has taken the initiative in our lives to bring us into fellowship. As we always know, none of us are here by chance. It's always a divine appointment. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Father, help us to hear in the heart. And above all, help us to mix faith with that which we hear. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. I have a title for our teaching today, and the title is What Influences You? What influences you? And I want to base this exhortation today from Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 to 21. Ephesians 5 verses 15 through to 21. And here the apostle is exhorting the saints at Ephesus to walk in the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And here we take it up in verse 15, which says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Well, here we are exhorted how we're to walk each day, how we're to live our lives in this world. So he says that you're to walk circumspectly. We're not to walk, in other words, as fools, unwise, but we are to redeem the times. Why? Because he were told the days are evil. Well, we know that that was written some 2,000 years ago, and here we are, the Lord is tarrying, and we're now experiencing that the days are even more evil, if they can be. And we are experiencing the great apostasy, this falling away. And so we're told to redeem the times. In other words, consider the times that you're in. and not to be unwise, and it calls us to understand, to have an understanding, to have a revelation, that intimate knowledge of what the will of the Lord is. And we only know what the will of the Lord is as we study the Word of God, as we make it our source of teaching and revelation and understanding. And we need to be very, very careful that we don't become weary of reading and hearing the Word of God. It's so easy to do this. And he says that we're not to be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. One could also say, don't be influenced too much by the world, its ways, those things that draw us out of the presence of God and the will of God. But it goes on to be filled with the Spirit. And that's really what I want to look at. To be filled with the Spirit. That experience of more of the filling that you have received. And that is why we call it the deeper life in the Spirit. Because it's a deeper life that you can go as far as you want with Almighty God. We've received the filling, the baptism of the Spirit. And there is so much more to experience in that filling that you and I have received. And that is why Jesus said that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. In other words, that hungering for righteousness means that God will fill. You will experience more of him. I believe that there is a hunger that is attached to the baptism of the Spirit, to the infilling, that we have not really yet fully experienced. Because we're still finding other things that sadly fill us. But we're not always going to the Lord, hungering and thirsting after him. For he is the only one that can fill us with his presence, with his love, with his Spirit, his knowledge, his understanding, his wisdom, everything that he is. Remember the teaching that we shared on Sunday, how God shares his blessings with us. And for those of you who didn't hear that teaching, I do exhort you to go on our website and listen to Sunday's message. A very important one. And that is why, you see, the love of God is the greatest influence that ever we can experience, that ever can be bestowed to us. For example, still looking in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, chapter 3 and verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so that is the key to being filled. Remember, our title this evening is What Influences You? That is what we're talking about. What is it that really influences you? Is it the world? Or is it more of God, his presence? Because we're told that the key to it is the love of God that fills. It's not just merely making studies of the word or how much theology you know or how many scriptures you memorize. That can all have its place. But unless the Spirit of God that has baptized us is revealing the love of God, then it's in vain. It's not that true understanding. It's not that true wisdom that the Bible tells us we're to have. And that is often the problem. Because we're influenced by other things, we're so easily drawn away and we're out of the will of God that we don't experience the love of God, the filling of God. Every day you need to be filled more with the love and presence of God. It never runs dry. There is more and more to be experienced through the baptism of the Spirit that we have received. We don't know how much we have received, and thank God we don't. But we know that as we press in by faith, and as we seek Him more and more, we find there is more and more of Him to experience through the Spirit that He has sent to us. That is the whole point. That is why He says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. And that should really be our influence. But not only that, there is also another reason why I'm emphasizing the importance of this, because we're told this in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And He says, don't grieve, don't be influenced. Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's verses 31 and 32. So He's telling us not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So we know also, of course, the baptism of the Spirit is our sealing. And I've explained many, many times what that sealing means. It means that you are not for sale. You have sold, stamped upon you. You are God. You belong to Him. But you can grieve the Spirit. You can hinder the continual infilling that you are to experience through the baptism of the Spirit. And much of the time, the hindrances come as to what is influencing us. You see, worldliness, the world outside there, is our biggest problem. It's the biggest problem that attacks the church, and it attacked Israel. Idols. The biggest problem Christians have is separation in their lives, and we fight against it. We don't like it. We feel it restricts us from what I want to do. And yet we do not realize that the world out there influences us far more than we realize. And you'll know how much the world influences you and the wrong company that you keep by what you say, by what you think, by what is becoming more of your affection. Of course we live in the world, and we have our jobs, and we have our families, but the question is, where is your heart in all of this? That is the question. That is what God constantly tested with Israel. The early church, you only have to read church history, and it's through every century of the church The church still has the same problem, worldliness. And the baptism of the Spirit is to remove that out of our lives and hearts, particularly for these last days. You know, when you wake up in the morning, do you ask God in the morning when you wake up that he will protect you from the lies and the deceptions that are in the world? It's a good prayer to pray that he will keep you separated from the world when you go out and do what you have to do. You see, when you start praying, when you start asking God those sorts of things, that is a clear sign you mean business with the Lord. Because if we don't ask for this protection, we don't believe for this, I'll tell you, the world is too strong. It's got too much to offer. It's too interesting. It takes so much of our time away from the presence of God, the love of God. And you know what? It grieves our Father, because he knows that the world is corrupt, it's dying. Well, in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, what does it say there? It says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." So that is what we're to do. We're not to have fellowship with unfruitful things. And at times we do. We go to places that we shouldn't go to. We are spending time with people that we shouldn't really spend time with people, because they have a strong influence over us and cause us to be confused or to make wrong choices and decisions. And this can still be our problem. And that is why Romans 12, 1 and 2 shows how important this is. I read this to you, you know this very well. But he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Notice what you present to God, you, your body, you. Christ has brought you with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. Your Father is no longer the devil, but Almighty God. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So where is the problem? Where is the attack? In the mind. It says the renewing of your mind. Your mind will only be renewed. Your mind will only be able to understand and take in the word of God if you have presented your whole being on that altar before the Lord. And then you will find your mind is starting to be worked upon and transformed. Renewed, in other words, for the purpose that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, you are pleasing to the Lord. You are putting his will first. How many times have we said, I'm going to do the Lord's will? We say that in a religious way, but we've already made up our minds. We've already planned it all. We're just being hypocritical. But he says that we know the acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's not just the will of God, but the perfect will of God. That is what he's on about. So where is the battle then? The battle is in the mind. And we know what influences us when we start to see, when we start to listen, and we start to taste. Exactly how Adam, Eve fell. The devil's tactics do not change. He still does it and tries it with you and I. And then when we find, we go along with it, we then find something happens, we become trapped. And we're trapped because it becomes our thinking. And when it starts to become our thinking, it then starts to become our confession. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever is in the heart, the mouth will speak it. And where is the deliverance? It's when you come back to God, you come back to his word, you repent, and you get yourself right with the Lord. Just like Israel, when she fell into sin, idolatry, and repented, then she was brought back into the presence of Almighty God, and then the blessings flowed again. And then it repeated again, it happened again, over and over and over again. Until in the end, sadly, God gave them up in the wilderness. But you now have been baptized in the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, not to keep repeating that. That is the difference, you see. And so we find that we're in this battle. And these battles, for our mind, are getting stronger and more subtle. And where you find your mind battles or your influence, whether it's where you're going or whom you are associating with, you need to get away because it's not helping you. It's robbing you of the love of God, the grace of God, his presence. And there are many things out there that's wanting to influence our mind, our thinking. The new age, the new world, the new order that's coming in is taking over man's mind. For example, we know there's a huge amount, and it's almost constantly on the radio or in the papers or whatever it is. It's about pollution. It's a huge topic now because man is able to see the world from the telescopes, and he can see what is happening to the globe, to the world. A man believes that he has control and dominion over the world, and so he's out on a mission to save the world, to save the planet. That's what it is. And so we have all now about emissions of CO2, carbon dioxide, the impact on the environment, and you have a carbon footing. And I don't think it'll be long before your carbon footing will be watched, will be monitored, and you'll be fined if you find that you're not following your carbon footprint. And there's much about that. You see, there's nothing new about all of this. As we know, there's nothing new under the sun. We all leave a trail of pollution. Ever since man fell, he's left a trail of pollution. From what he eats, to the waste that comes from his body, from what he eats. The water we use, the things we throw away, and so on. I did a bit of a survey on this as to what they're looking at and plan to do. And a lot of this, of course, you know, but you have a carbon footprint. And they're going to be looking into the members of your household, how you live in your house, the size of your home, how many live in your home. They're going to try and educate you on the foods that you eat, the choice of food, how much you buy. Are you buying too much? Are you wasting too much? Well, of course, that is a big problem. And I don't believe that that glorifies God at all, to throw food away. As I said, there's nothing new really about any of this. And with regards to our driving, well, you're going to be advised to avoid traffic jams if you can. Well, if that's possible. They're going to ask you to try and move excess weight from your cars. So that might mean you may not be able to take your wife or your husband with you. They want you to use your cruise control, if you've got one, as much as possible. Make sure your tires are inflated properly. Make sure that you've got the correct grade of motor oil. Make sure that your car is regularly maintained, and so on. These are all going to be stressed and emphasized. And probably in time, if you're not really meeting the requirements, you may be fined. Avoid four-wheel drives. That is not going to be popular. What is going to be popular, of course, is hybrid cars. Well, of course, there is a lot of pollution in the world and on our streets and so forth. One isn't denying any of this. The problem, of course, is that we're fed the lies that the world will destroy itself. It will get too hot. It will heat up if we don't do something about it. For those who fly, you are going to be encouraged to fly economy class. We know that Prince William, he does this now to be an example. And for those who are in industry or whatever it is, you are going to be encouraged to use video conferencing much more and so on. I could just go on and on. There's reams of all of this with regard to your carbon footprint. How much water we use? How much water do you throw away? Your heating. Keep your heating down. They're encouraging that. One thing they don't mention about is our bodies when we die. They either go into the ground or they're incinerated. I notice they don't mention that one. Still a carbon footprint. Why am I stressing all of this, brothers and sisters? Why have I brought this up? Because the title says, "What influences you?" That is the question. We hear so much now of all this stuff, day after day, influencing, oppressing, controlling. Governments trying to control your life. Trying to control free speech, controlling your family. Governments are controlling your children. And it goes on and on. That is the environment that we're living in. Are you going to allow that to influence you through fear, unbelief? That is the question. All that we're seeing through all of this, this is man's pride. He thinks he can save the planet. Well, I've got a scripture here that will encourage you. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 104. If you've not read Psalm 104 or read it recently, please read it, will you? Because this is about the sovereignty of God, his creation, his providence, his care, his protection. And what does verse 30 say of Psalm 104? You send forth your spirit, they are created. Here it is. And you renew the face of the earth. You renew the face of the earth. It means that God polishes it. It's like he sharpens a sword. He keeps it sharp. He keeps it polished. He looks after it. That's what it means. He renews the face of the earth because he created and made it. And man, in his arrogance, assumes that he can save the planet. Now, we have a responsibility. I'm not saying we don't. We have to use wisdom. We have to be sensible. I don't like all this plastic that we have today. I never have liked it. And it is a pollutant. But the point is, these are lies that are being influenced, that are trying to change our mind, our thinking, to rob us and take our minds away from the promises of God. That is what lies behind all of this. We're told that God is going to destroy man's Babel in these last days. And Babel is being built. It most certainly is. We know this from, I'll just read some of it from Revelation. The book of Revelation. 17. Revelation 17. Verses 1 to 3. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bows came and talked with me, saying to me, come and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. So here we are seeing the ecclesiastical Babylon, which we know as the great harlot. So religion still has a great influence in the world. That is harlotry. And of course, we very much believe that that speaks of the Roman Catholic. But we also know that the political Babylon will rise up and will make war with the harlot. And that political Babylon, of course, will be the Antichrist setting up his kingdom for a short time, the conflicts. And then in Revelation 18, verse 1, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having a great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mighty with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. And it goes on that all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath, of the fornication of the kings of the earth. And so it goes on. They've all committed. In other words, they've all sold their soul. They've all given over to the Antichrist, given him the political power to go forth. And of course, his aim is to deceive the nation of Israel. That's his goal. The apple of God's eye, God's ancient people. Why am I stressing all of this? Because I believe all of this that we hear now in the news that comes up so much, all of this, this is all part of the end times that's being built. This Babylon and this Babel will fall. Just like ancient Babel fell, so this Babel will fall also. This great tower, this pride that man believes he's in control of the earth, he's in control of his destiny. He can change the planet. He can change the environment. They're working on all of these things to try and change the weather, to influence the weather, to control the population, to control food and what we eat and so on. He's become a god, Babel. And God will bring it down. And it comes down with a mighty crash. You read Revelation 17 and 18. It's all there. And the reason that I mention all of this is because you have to ask yourself, what is influencing you? Because when you are with non-believers, they are influenced by all of this. They believe it. They embrace it. And so we need to be on our guard. We need to know that hedge of protection around us. When we place ourselves in these ungodly situations and environments, we need to ask ourselves and be honest, is this influencing me? Is this robbing me of the promises of God's word? Am I no longer believing that God will provide, God will heal me, God will protect me, and so on? All these things that we embraced and we have learned and stayed with over all these years, they haven't changed. That is the whole point. The problem is, the enemy is so subtle, he's so clever. He so tries to say, well, nothing's happening, very little's happening, and so on. Well, God is building his church through you and I. That is the whole point. The building is through us. And if things are not happening, it may be because I'm out of the will of God. I'm not doing the will of God. It always starts with us, with me. It's very easy to point the finger and look to others, or look to the pastor or the minister or whatever it would be. He is there to teach the people. You are there to make disciples, to teach them the ways of the Lord. And a lot of the problem is we're not being filled with the Spirit of God. We have lost that hunger for that continual filling. And that is why God challenges us and calls us to come back to our first love. Otherwise, the world will devour you. It will subtly draw you away more and more from the will of God in your life. You'll no longer be fulfilling Romans 12, 1 and 2. So what is influencing you? That is the question. If it is God, His Spirit, His Word, you know, when you open up the Word of God and you begin to read it, that's you there. That's Him speaking to you, to me. Those promises there are for you. That is the Father's heart, His blessing. But He can only bless us if we're willing to obey and to put Him first in everything. And that is why we need to be on our guard with all of this stuff that's coming out now, that's going on. We need to be careful what we listen to. There are some times when I have the news on, when I'm preparing lunch or whatever it is, and I hear things said or whatever it is, I start to go in the spirit. I start to bind what's coming out of that person's mouth so that it will not influence people who are listening to this. Many times the Spirit leads me to do this, because I know they're lies. That is from the pit, what is being said. We're told that 1 in 3 will get cancer. We're told 1 in 5 will have dementia. How do they know that? Where does that come from? It comes from the pit. And yet we find we're influenced by these things. And we always will be influenced if we don't let God deal with fear in our lives. And we're told there is no fear in the perfect love of God. And it's the love of God, when I opened this up, this teaching earlier on, it's the love of God that keeps us being filled with the Spirit of God. That is the influence, the love of God. If that is the influence, everything flows from that as a result. And God will bless you. All of these things do not belong to us. All the lies of the enemy do not belong to us. We are set apart from it. You have been raised with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above every power, principality, dominion. You've been raised above it. And that is what we should be experiencing. But the battle is in the mind. The enemy knows where to attack. He knows if you're thinking it, you've accepted it, then you will start to live it and speak it. And you'll speak that lie, that bondage over yourself. And the next thing you know is you're living it, you're acting it. Because we're told whatever you sow is what you reap. And you will reap it. Whatever corruption, whatever unbelief, whatever fear, whatever rebellion is in your life, you will reap it. Until You turn fully to God, and then he will lift it, he will remove it by his mercy and grace. That is why we have always said the deeper life teaching is deliverance to us in these last days. If the word is not delivering you, then I ask the question whether it really is anointed. That is the whole reason why God anoints his word, the unction of the Spirit, so that it brings healing, deliverance, salvation to us. And if it isn't doing that, then something is wrong. We should always experience, when we have been brought under the presence of Almighty God and his word, we should always experience a change, a deliverance, a challenge, the love of God. Something about us cannot be the same. That is what we should always expect and look for when we come together under the anointing. Because that is what should influence us. The thing that should really influence us is God's presence, his love, his word. Never lose sight of it. Hold it. Make it your own. Because the enemy's out to try and take it from us. And he comes like an angel of light. And sadly, he even uses the family as an angel of light to try and draw us away in the subtleties that he does. It's very, very important, brothers and sisters, that we dwell together in unity, that we come under that banner, the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's vital for us now. In these last days, don't let the enemy continue to rob. Well, there we are. What influences you? That's what we've been looking at this evening. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is faithful. Father, we thank you. You love us so much that you want us to experience that love. And Lord, you have revealed your love to us tonight. You've exhorted us, but you've also admonished us that we are not to lose sight of our first love. You've warned us that the world can be so subtle, so convincing, trying to pull us away from putting the kingdom of God first. Nothing's new, Lord. Nothing has changed. The enemy has been working this ever since man fell. Help us, Father, to put our priorities right. Because time is so short. Father, give us the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. For we need that wisdom, that understanding. We need to be able to discern, to test in these last days. And Father, I pray that you'll always be with us when we go out and when we come in. That your travelling mercies will always be upon us. Father, keep our minds, our hearts, our circumstances, our lives simple, unshackled, always looking to you and giving you all the praise and all the glory. For this we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Straight, every valley shall be filled.
the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you. Brought low.